your Bibles today to the book of John, John chapter 21. I've been preparing this message for quite some time. Actually, as I thought about it, I've been preparing this message all my ministerial life. I had the privilege of being in the ministry about 20 years now. Graduated from college in 1984. And as I've observed a few things, I saw people go through storms. I went through storms in my own life and saw people handle the storms in different ways. And so today I would like to talk to you about the storms of life and how you can prepare for them. I'm going to share with you the way some people react to storms, what the natural temptation is to do during a time of storm, but also the right response to them. And as I started preparing for this message, it was going to be a one-day deal. But the more I got into it and started thinking about the different responses to the storms of life, I'm actually going to extend this beyond today. Preparing for the storms of life. John chapter 21, verses 2 and 3 will be our text this morning. John chapter 21, verses 2 and 3. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Like me, fished all night, caught nothing. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word today. But Lord, I pray specifically for those that I know that are not well, for Anna Stauffer and Abby, or for Seth Stauffer and Matthew Mannon and the Ewing family, and Lord, for others that I'm not even aware of. We pray for Marvin Burton today. We just ask, Lord, that you administer your health and strength to all of these people. We thank you, Lord, for the answers to prayer, even Wednesday night, because those we prayed for, Lord, were better immediately, and we thank you for those results and ask that you would do the same for these people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we all need to be prepared for the storms of life because storms will come. Prepare yourself before a storm hits, because after a storm has hit, you will have certain natural temptations. So brace yourself beforehand. Purpose now to handle the storm with a proper response. Here are the natural temptations and the proper responses to storms after a storm has hit. Number one, the first natural temptation is to give up and go back to the old ways. Give up and go back to old ways. John chapter 21, verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Peter had just gone through a storm in his life. There was this whole ordeal about the crucifixion of Christ. But Peter's own personal encounter, where he denied the Lord not just once, not just twice, but three times. And Peter was devastated by his betrayal. And after this storm and these denials of Peter, he decided that he was going to go back to fishing. He was going to go back to his old way of life. Peter was determined to go back to the thing that he did before he met Jesus. He was giving up on the idea of being a fisher of men, what Jesus had called him to do, and so he went back to that which he knew best. But that didn't work either, because that night he fished all night and caught absolutely nothing. The thing that he was relying upon, the thing that he knew best, would not work for him any longer. Notice also that he took his friends with him. Be careful if you follow someone after a storm has hit their life. They may be giving in to some natural temptations, and they may be giving up on some things about the Christian life, and maybe even the Christian life altogether, and just going back to their old ways. And you may not want to follow them in that. And when you go through a storm, be very careful not to be a negative influence on others. Beware that the natural temptation you may face is to give up and go back to your old ways. What should be the proper response? The proper response should be to remain faithful and wait for God's deliverance. Remain faithful and wait for God's deliverance. Psalm 37:34 says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Waiting on the Lord is not passive, it is active. It's remaining faithful, continuing in the disciplines of the Christian life. You know, it is always too soon to quit. Always too soon to quit. Understand that God is for you even in your weakness. God is for you even when you stumble. He was for Peter even though Peter denied him. He was still for Peter. God loves you and he is eager to help you right now. A Christian college in Illinois had a watchword some years back. It was too soon to quit. Winners know that it is always too soon to quit. If you are here and you are discouraged today, remember it's too soon to quit. The Holy Spirit will come. He will bring courage to your heart. I once heard a story about some horses drawing a heavy load of logs. They came to a hard place and they began to struggle. They worked with all of their might, straining every muscle to the breaking point. But they just couldn't get started up the hill. It was too steep and the logs were too heavy. Well, the driver took some of the logs off the wagon and tried to get the horses started again, but nothing happened. The horses tried to pull the logs up the hill, but just once again, they just couldn't get enough energy to get it started. So the driver went back and he rolled off some more logs. Once again, he prodded the horses to go up the hill. But again, nothing happened. These horses were now so tired that they couldn't even take one step forward. So the driver, at last, went back and took all of the logs off the wagon and prodded the horses gently. They started slowly but gained momentum until they were able to go all the way to the top. You know, discouragement drains strength and makes light loads seem heavy. Those horses had been utterly discouraged. They had pulled with all of their strength. They had pulled with all of their might, and still they had failed. Anyone doing that, man or beast, won't be able to accomplish much. At times, the Holy Spirit will come to our side, and he will unload the logs. Sometimes he'll take off every single burden. Other times, he'll take off only a few, but he knows exactly how many logs, how many burdens to take off, and how many to remain for us to handle. He knows exactly what loads need to be lifted so that we can regain our strength and go on. I want you to know something today. Those horses were more important than the load they were carrying. They were more important than those logs. And I want you to know today that you are more important than the burdens you carry. God is more concerned about you than he is the burdens that you are carrying. Let the Lord unload some of the logs, some of the burdens, so that you can bring to life again your spirit of courage and move forward. Peter's courage had been destroyed. Discouragement drained him. But God's grace gave him courage to move on again. This psalm, Psalm 37, is a psalm that was written by a father to a son. And in this psalm, the father is teaching his son about life. A pastor once told this story. He had a boy named David. He said, "When David was a little boy, he started riding to church with me. We would go early in the morning and come home late at night. The rest of the family would come later and go back earlier, but David always wanted to be with Dad. It didn't matter how long I stayed after the service, David would wait for me. One morning, coming home from Sunday school and church, I asked him what the Sunday school lesson was about. He looked through his big brown eyes and said, it was about God. I then asked, what did you learn about God? I learned that God loves me more than anyone else loves me. But when I do wrong, God spanks me. And boy, does he spank. But after God spanks me, he hugs me and tells me that it hurt him worse than it hurt me. Hey, Dad, are you God? I looked at him through tears and said, no, son, I'm not God, but I'm glad you think I am. And I hope that when you've grown up and you've left home, you will still think your dad is a little bit like God. You know, we're trying to teach our children about life, but what will speak to them in the greatest measure is to observe how we act to the storms in our life. How we react to the pressures that come our way, and how we handle the situations of life, that will speak to them the greatest. And so the exhortation, when a storm hits, remain faithful and wait upon God. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Live by what God's word says, not by what you see, hear, or imagine to be true. Live by what God's word said. Use God's word against the words of the enemy. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Those that wait upon the Lord are like those who wait for the sunrise. And I learned a couple of things about the sunrise. You can't rush it. You can't rush the sunrise. I worked security guard for a few months, maybe a little longer than that. And I hated that third shift. And I couldn't wait for the sun to come up in the morning. Couldn't wait for the sun to rise. But as much as I tried, I couldn't rush it. It came when it wanted to. Cannot rush the sunrise. But the other thing I learned is that the sun will rise. It will happen. It will come up. It'll be right on time. And Hebrews 10:37 says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. God will come. He'll show up. He might not come as quick as we'd want him to come sometimes, but there's one thing for certain, he will be there. And he will be there right in time. So don't give up. The morning always comes in its time. The second natural temptation that we have to the storms of life is to escape or drown our sorrows. Escape or drown our sorrows. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. The natural temptation is for us to run from our problems. That's what Jonah wanted to do. He wanted to just run. He wanted to go in the opposite direction. He wanted to get as far away as he could from what God was telling him to do. He tried to actually run from the presence of the Lord. He had this problem. He didn't want to do what God had called him to do. He was afraid that Nineveh would repent if he went and preached there. He didn't want that to happen. He was more patriotic than that. And so he tried to run. He tried to escape from this dilemma. He tried to run from this problem. But he couldn't. And I think that the reason why a lot of people have such financial difficulties and heavy debt is because, you know, when we have problems, we just want to run out and spend money because we think it might help us feel better. I think that's what Isaiah is talking about. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? We think that if we have enough things, if we could accumulate enough things, we'll forget about our problems. And so we try to escape our problems in other ways, or we try to drown our sorrows with things and possessions And sometimes we go and spend money foolishly on things that don't satisfy. It should be our proper response to this temptation. The proper response should be to remain faithful to duties and burrow deep into God for security. Remain faithful to duties and burrow deep into God for security. When a storm comes, respond to the challenge the storm brings, not the storm or the problem itself. Don't respond to the problem. Respond to the challenge that problem brings. Here's a familiar passage of Scripture. You all know it. 1 Samuel 17. Begins with verse 23. And as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. He had spoken these for days, weeks, but this time David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, when they saw Goliath, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. No more taxes. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be to the man that killeth him. David faced Goliath, a 10-foot giant who had been trained for war from his youth. Goliath had a breastplate that weighed 200 pounds and a spear that was 8 feet long. The head of the spear alone was 25 pounds of pure iron. The fearsome warrior had been storming the armies of God for 40 nights. Nevertheless, David didn't see Goliath as a problem. He saw him as a challenge. He saw a man who was challenging God's faithfulness to his people. See, David knew that God was greater than his problem. I want you to know today that God is greater than your Goliath. He is greater than your problem. To you, he looks big. He looks enormous. But if you can see your God in comparison to the problem, your God is greater. We live in a pressure cooker age society. Alcoholism, drug abuse, job changes, divorce. Do you know that many of these things are simply signs of people running from their problems? Not knowing how to cope with pressure. They're not rising to meet their Goliath with the courage that God has made available to them. And every stage of life has pressures. Even childhood and teenage years. Suicide is on the increase among the youth between the ages of 13 and 19. What surprised me even more than that, it's rising from children from the ages of 6 to 8 years old. Children 6 to 8 years old committing suicide. Why? Because many of these young people don't know how to cope with the pressures of life. They don't know how to cope with the pressures of life because their parents don't know how to cope with the pressures of life. There's nobody there to teach them. There's nobody to lead them and to show them by example. Newlyweds have pressures. On a scale of 1 to 100, just being newly married scores 50 points. Why? There's so many adjustments that have to be made. Financial adjustments, career adjustments, role adjustments. Many young couples aren't prepared to rise to the challenge. Single parents have tremendous pressures. Financial challenges, loneliness, adjustments in every area of life. Listen, we all have our Goliaths. All of us do. Some have rocky marriages. Some have ailing mates. Some have handicapped children. Some have vocational inadequacies. Yet with God's courage for us, we can face any of these problems if we look at them as challenges, and we can overcome them. God doesn't give you wings to fly away from your problems. He doesn't take us out of the world to keep us from experiencing pressure. Instead, he gives us the strength to walk through the pressure and to be enlarged, even when we're in distress. God allowed the three children of Israel to go into the fiery furnace, but he kept them safe. God won't always turn down the heat, but he'll always get in there with us, and he'll give us the strength to face whatever we have to. If we try to run from our problems, listen, I've been there, folks. If we try to run from our problems or go around our problems, we'll only have to face them later on. The thing to do is to turn and face them with courage, knowing that God will help us overcome them. Joshua's word to the Israelites are for us as well. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 25, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight." Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Same chapter, verses 5 and 6, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." You know, David wrote this psalm. There was a rebellion that was going on in his kingdom. Absalom, his son, began a rebellion against his dad, a rebellion against his king. It all started with gossip. It all started with talk. Kind of started out somewhat innocently, but then it spread. Absalom was talking about the inefficiencies of his dad and how if he had the chance, he would judge the people better. He even insinuated that his dad was becoming senile. David, of course, began to hear bits and pieces of this gossip as it returned to him. Critical statements would, of course, come back to David. It was while this was going on that he wrote the 62nd Psalm. But I wonder, who is there among us that have not faced a similar storm? Who among us has not felt the sharp dagger and the piercing saber of talk that we were unable to answer, and verbal attacks which we were unable to defend ourselves? As a preacher for over 20 years now, I felt the hurt and the pain of untrue statements and unjust criticism. You know, I used to trace it down. I used to trace it down and defend myself and try to explain my position, but I realized that only widened the wound. You know, the only thing that we can really do is do our best to be sincere and to love God, serve him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and let him be our vindication. It's always difficult when verbal attacks are leveled against us. It's even more difficult when they come from people that we love. It's even more difficult when they come from our friends, and it seems to me that it would be unbearable if it came from our flesh, blood of our blood, and bone of our bone. Imagine David's heartbreak as his own son began to speak against him. And the first echoes of his son's criticism and gossip leaked back to him. He wrote that song, "Wait upon the Lord. Let him be your rock. Let him be your defense." I would like to encourage you today to be prepared for the storms of life. And one of the ways that you can be prepared for that storm is simply to wait upon God. Don't give up. It's always too soon to quit. Don't give up. Don't ever go back to old ways. I've seen it happen with people. I've seen them receive the word of God with joy, but then when persecution comes, they go back to their old way of life. And you know what? I used to think you were safe if you could make it for 10, 20 years, but man, I've seen people that have been Christians for 10, 20, even 30 years go back to the old way of life, to give up on God and to quit. I hope there's nobody like that here this morning. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up and go back to your old ways. Instead, remain faithful and wait for God's deliverance. there are people watching you to see how you will react to the storms of life. Be faithful and wait for God's deliverance. Don't escape or drown your sorrows, but instead remain faithful to the duties that God has given you and burrow deep into God. Burrow deep into God for security. He hides your soul in the cleft of the rock, covers you with his hand. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Lord, I don't know how many people are facing storms today. I know that these are just a couple of the natural temptations that we have to quit or to escape. And Lord, I know that that's not the right answer. Never is the right answer. I pray today that you would help those that are going through storms to see that it is just a storm and that they can weather it in you. Help them, Lord, to wait upon you, to remain faithful to you and to their responsibilities. And help them, Lord, to burrow deep into you for security. That during these difficult times of life, they would find that they are actually being enlarged. And their relationship with you is growing more intimate by the moment. Lord, we thank you that we have you for security. We thank you, Lord, that we can go to you. You will hide us in the cleft of that rock, the rock of Christ. Lord, we thank you that you will shelter us. Lord, that you will bring us through. You will come to our aid. You are faithful. Thank you for all these things. Be with those that need you today, especially. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.